Accession number 24934, Real 1.
Mr. William Stone, Real 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Stone?
I was born on the 23rd of September, on a Sunday.
And that would be what
year? At a little place called Leadstone, which is a little hamlet about 2 miles north of Kingsbridge.
That's South Devon?
South Devon.
And you were born in 1900?
1900.
Now, could you tell us a bit about your family history?
That was during the Boer War.
Can you tell us a bit about your family history and your family background?
Yes.
You know, what sort of a childhood you had?
I was one of 14 children. I was the 10th. 8 girls, 6 boys. 4 of us were in the Navy. The oldest was in the Army and the youngest was in the Marines. My father and mother, they died at the age of 87.
Yep.
My father was never in the service because he broke his arm when he was young and his arm was a bit crooked or something.
Now, what did your parents do for a living and what was your childhood actually like?
My father did everything. He used to drive a steamroller. Principally, he used to slaughter pigs. We had a pony and trap, and he used to ride the pony to all the districts to kill the pigs, shilling the time. Kill them and hang them up, and he'd go the next morning, and he'd get sixpence for cutting it up for them. And he used to buy the steamroller and all that kind of thing. Work on a farm, do anything.
So he was sort of a general labourer?
Yes, you call him official labour, you know, because he'd do anything on a farm, thatch a rick of corn, or do up the hedge.
He was quite a skilled labourer.
Skilled labourer, that's right, yes.
And the 14 of you, I mean, was there enough money to go around? I mean, because your mum, I presume, was working, looking after you, not...
That's right, and she used to go out to work occasionally. When the farmer's wife was sick, she used to go to the farm and make butter. She would clap it to you with her hands. Now, when I was 3, I went to school. The older children took me. And I left school when I was 13.
Now, which school did you go to?
A little place called Goverton.
And what do you remember about... Because it's such a long time. Tell us about what it was like going to school at
that time. Going to walk to school. And the school, there was no heat. Just one little stove, little funny heater. There was 2 big rooms. One big room for the big boys. And the small room was for the little ones. They used to go in there until they were about 6. And then come into the big one. And I left when I was 13, you know.
Now, what was a typical day like at school? I mean, what was the routine like at school?
Well, we used to go at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I think about 10, right past 10 was a little lunch and go for play in the playroom. And then we go back and we used to leave at 4 o'clock.
And how did they teach you? What sort of methods of teaching did they
teach you on the big blackboard on the board, writing down what, you know, make writing to make.
Now, what did you like at school and not like? How did you do at school?
I didn't like it. You see, my father never went to school. He couldn't read nor write. And he didn't encourage us, you see. I don't take this old murk here. I never wanted it. Of course he didn't. But I did. I'd like to have gone to night school, but it's 2 miles to Kingsbridge, you know, to go a long way. Now, I joined the Navy on my 18th...
So what did he do when you left school? You left school at 13?
I left school at 13. I went on a farm to work, sleeping in the farm. There was 2 other young men there as well.
Now, tell us about your work as a farm labourer.
One of the men was a head horseman, and the other one was the second horseman. Now, I was the odd man, and he used to go with the workman with the horse and cart taking the... mango and turnips to the fields where the sheep and things were like that there, and going cutting out the weed in the field. 0.5 crown a week I got.
Did you enjoy it?
No. And
why not?
I used to, they had a bell, the farmer used to ring the bell at 5 minutes or 6 in the morning, they go again at 6 o'clock. Out we had to get. Now, if the cows were out in the field, I'd bring them in and feed them, and the horsemen would do the horses. But if it was in winter, they would stay in there. You fed them. And then at 7 o'clock, the lady, she was a miss, would blow the whistle. And we'd go and have our breakfast. We always had every day bar Sunday, bacon and mash, or what do you call it, with a mixed stuff with the potatoes. And on a Sunday, you'd have a fry egg with it, extra one. And then you'd go to work and milk the cows. I had milk by hand. I know the first time I ever the cow kicked me, knocked me bucket and all out the door. And I was always to pick out the easy ones, you know, because the farmer would go around after me to strike them down, because if you didn't milk them properly, they'd go dry. And then after you've had your breakfast, you go out and you add a separator, add a turn the handle, the separator of milk. Cream would come out one spout, the milk out the other. There's no nutriment in it, really. And then we used to give that to the calves, the little young calves. You put your finger in the mouth and get them to suck it that way. And then the others we would put in a bucket and give them. And then after you've had your breakfast, I've done those things, then you turn the cows out, and then you did odd jobs. 10 o'clock, you'd have a sandwich or a bit of cake, you see. The farmer, there was two men used to come to work, 7 o'clock. He'd wash his hands before he went to milk, and he had a keg, 3.5 pints of cider, and he put it up and drank a good drink of that and go, and he used to get that every day, that 3 pints, a little keg. I think that was part of their wages, because they didn't get a lot of money. Now, I worked there for 2 years.
Now,
in 1915.
Hang on. What do you remember about the outbreak of the war in 1914?
Well, all my friends were being called up. They were a little bit older than me, you see. It was conscription at 18. You had to go then. Now, I said, in 1915, I said to the farmer, I'm going to join the Navy. And I walked to Kingsbridge, 2.5 miles, and I joined as a boy. In 1915. And when the papers came back from the Admiralty for me to go, my father said, you're not going.
Now, did he explain why?
He said, I got three boys, three of your brothers in the service, and you, I don't want you to go. Had he signed my papers, and probably I wouldn't be here today, because that was the first year of the war. And of course, I was reading the paper all the time, you see.
Now, what other jobs did you do? Because
what? When I left the farm, you see, that, of course, I told them I was leaving, of course, I left. And then I worked for a little while on a farm in the village. Well, then to get more money, I went to the town and I worked for a hauler with the horses. I used to go around different things.
What? Tell me about that.
And I used to go with a horse and water cart, driving around the street with a water cart, because you had no tarmac those days. And you went all around the town, and the tide came right up to the town, and I used to pump the water up from the sea, and then go all around the streets with this water cart.
Doing what?
Wetting, you know, the thing at the back was running out, you see. And then I used to go with the water cart making the roads. When they laid the stones down, they threw some earth, and then you went for the water cart for the water, and like made a cement, then the steamroller would go up and down. So the steamroller driver said, why don't you pack up that job and come with me? I want a second hand and you'll learn to drive. So I left this farm, this man, and he said, well, you're not strong enough really, because it was hard work. And he didn't mind, and I went for this man driving the steamroller.
This is a steam tractor engine roller.
Traction engine.
Tell me about that.
Well, I used to light it up in the morning, and I was asleep in a van. I used to go around different places, sleep in a van. The man driver, he was a married man, he used to go home. I used to sleep in the van so I could light up the engine and get the steam up and drive it out on the road. And then he'd be filling up the little holes, and I'd be driving. I was some buck then. And then a man came along, felling trees, called Charles, Mr. White. And he said, I want a young man like you to drive my engine. The engine was stationary, with the wire rope around the drum, all the trees out of the woods. And then they used to cut them up, and we'd put out a saw bench to back the engine, and we were doing that. And then we used to haul the timber to Kingsbridge Station. And the boss would drive then, and I used to steer the engine. And we used to stay the night at Kingsbridge, unload our trucks, and I used to drive the engine back on my own, or the other man that used to drive and steer then. I was some buck driving through Kingsbridge Station. I was only 16 then. And I did that for a long time. That was nice. And then my father worked on the same woodwork. And when I used to go earlier than him to light the engine up. And when he came to work, he said, your papers are done to join the army. Oh, I said, take my engine. I was, he could drive, you see. I'm off. I call my bicycle home and change. I wait for Plymouth to join the Navy.
Now, how come you got into the Navy rather than the Army? How,
well, I have three brothers in the Navy.
So you, you were called up, and that was on your 18th birthday?
It wasn't called up. It was to go to Exeter, to be medically examined. And then when you're 18, up, come up, you see.
What do you remember of the medical examination?
So I got this examination, passed, and I went home. And about a week after, I got the notice to say I had to report to port to Exeter. Now up to Plymouth.
Now, that, so you were called up Plymouth. In September 1918.
I went to Plymouth that day. I got this letter. I caught the train to Plymouth. That was 2 weeks before I was 18.
So September.
September. And I went right to Plymouth to join the Navy. And I passed. And then they said, how old are you? I said, 18. What date? 23rd of September. They said, well, that's fortnight's door. I said, well, that's good enough for me. So I passed everything. They gave me half a crown. That was my return fare to Kingsbridge. And I had a meal, corned beef, and mashed potatoes and beans, and away home. And I didn't hear for a week. Then they give me a week's notice on the 16th of September.
So you called?
Saying that I had to go to return to Plymouth on my birthday, the 23rd of September, on my 18th birthday.
Now, what happened when you...
I joined as a seaman. I didn't know what I was joining. All my brothers, three brothers, were in the engine department. Two was stoker petty officer and one was a leading stoker. So I was in the barracks doing the seaman training.
Now, which barracks did you go
to? Naval barracks, Devonport.
And what was your reception when you got there? How did they take you in? You know, what happened when you got there?
Well, they said, they didn't make a fuss of you. Just go on here, dear, and jump here, there.
Were you kitted out at all when you first got there?
Yes, got me kitted all out.
What did you get?
Oh, your clothes. So.
Do you remember what you got?
Yeah, I can't know. You had two, three... cloth suits and white suits and flannels and shirts and jerseys, hat, silk ties around your neck. You had a folk sailor's kit.
And what were the barracks like, the barrack room you were in? Can you remember it?
Oh, it was terrible, really. Going to rush for a meal, you were running up in the queuing up.
But what was the barrack room like?
Terrible.
In what way?
Come so many hundreds of people. The barracks was full up. And we were fitted at some beautiful camp, a mile and a half out of north of the barracks, sleeping in a tent, sleeping in tents. We used to march to the barracks each day, march for your dinner, and march back again.
What was the food like?
Oh, fairly good. And we slept in about five or six of us in a tent. And you went for a wash in the morning, there was a lean-to, the old cold water. Of course, no wonder I got the flu and the shirt down here, you know.
Now, what about that? You were training first as a seaman. Tell me about your training as a seaman. What did you actually do, as much as you remember?
Boat pulling.
Tell me about that.
Boat pulling, you know, in the whalers to go out. And the cutter, I think it was about 6, 12, the cutter. And then we used to do swinging the lead.
How'd you do that?
You stand on a pedestal on the front of the ship and you swing the lead, as on the doings, is all marked in fathoms. And you swing it like this until you get it going and you swing it around like that and you let it go there. You see, when the ship comes up there, you pull it up and take the depth. And on the compasses, you're doing all the compasses and doing all this kind of thing.
What are the compasses?
Turning the automatic wheel. Seeing all that kind of thing.
Did you do boxing the compass, that sort of thing?
Yes, yes. I couldn't remember at all, you know. And of course, I wasn't pleased, and my brothers said, what do you join this as a seaman for? You're not supposed to be a sailor, a seaman. You're supposed to be a stoker. Oh, no, then listen, before that, I went to the railway strike at Newport. Railway strike.
This is when you were still a seaman, right?
When I was still a seaman.
Tell me about that.
I was interviewed by two officials from the railway, because it's on my papers, engine driver, and they thought, of course, I was engine driver on the railway, but it wasn't so. I was sent as a fireman, prospective driver, and I was sent to Newport, and I was driving a big engine called Baden Powell. Not going the journey, backing in, and the empty engines filling up, so they fill up the coal and water. And I was there about a fortnight.
And what do you remember of that? I mean, what was it like? Because you were strike-breaking, really, weren't you?
Yes, it was terrible, really. The one of the Marines got up and he had the engine and he jumped, he didn't shut it off. The engine was going like this. I jumped up in and switched it off. Because I could drive the engines at railway. Because now times, when I went to Kingsbridge Station with a load, I was friendly with the cleaners and I used to go in their engine up and down, you see.
So that was you were just there for 2 weeks. Now, how long was it before you were transferred to a Stoker? Was it before or after you got influenza, flu?
After I got the flu.
Well, is the next thing that happens getting flu then? Was that before the end of the war or you got flu, or do you remember?
No, the war wasn't over until November, you see.
So you still... Tell me about catching flu and how bad was it?
Oh, it was terrible. I went to the barracks for my dinner, in the morning for training, went back to some bureau camp for my dinner, and I fell with my head in my dinner. I collapsed. And took me in the ambulance. I could tell we in the barracks, so I went to the left. And I was in the gymnasium. The hospital was full up. Everywhere was full up with the flu. And I was about 4 days in bed. And the next sailor...
What were the symptoms as you felt them?
Oh, terrible. Terrible. Temperature 103. I went to the toilet once and I collapsed over to the plate of air with me. Of course, I should have got somebody to take me. And after about 4 or 5 days in bed, when the doctor came the next day, one day, said to the fellow next to me, "How are you now?" He said, "Well, I'm a lot better." I said, "All right, recommend for 14 days, Steve." So that's good. When he came to me, he said, "How are you?" I said, "Oh, I'm a lot better now, sir. Right, recommend for 14 days leave." And then we were fumigated, put us in a big place with Jace fluid in containers, put steam on it, and it got a just like a thick fog. I thought it was going to gas us, you know. I got near the door to get out. And then all your gear was fumigated. And then they sent us on 14 days leave. So while I was on leave, my father was driving my engine, so he was killing pigs. While he went to kill pigs, I went and drove his engine while I was on leave, you see.
And when you went back, you were still...
Then when I went back as a Stoker...
So you went back as a Stoker. When did you change as a Stoker?
I changed then, after the railway strike. And then I got this draft shit to the HMS Tiger.
Now, hang on. Tell me about your training as a Stoker. How did they train you?
I didn't have any.
None at all?
No, because I was a Stoker first class, so it sent me to the ship as a Stoker first class.
But you hadn't had any training?
No, but I didn't want the training. I knew all about it, driving engines, see? Went to the Tiger.
Now, you joined the Tiger at Rosyth.
Yeah.
Now, we seem to have slipped time here, because in your notes it says that was October 1919. Is that wrong?
No, 1918.
That sounds more like it.
That's
1918. I thought that might be right.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Now, what were your first impressions when you joined the Tiger?
Well, I was only one that said to the ship. I didn't know my way around.
Could you describe the Tiger? Because I mean, a lot of people don't know her now.
She was a three-funnel battleship, and she had 39 boilers, and when we called ship, we should take in over 1,000 ton. We'd be all calling ship all day and all night. Everybody was in, officers and all.
Tell us about that. How was it done?
You had the colliers hoisted in some places, and once we were at Gibraltar, the local men were coming with baskets on their head, up one gangway, throwing it on the deck, and going down the other one. All the officers, everybody was in. Band would be dressed in old clothes and playing the band. And it was terrible as a Stoker on down below.
What were your duties down below?
In the fires, firing up the coal.
Tell us how you actually did it.
In four boilers, and then one Stoker would be like me would be on the boiler, and the lads would be bringing this coal from one side of the ship, and it's called a skid. It held 300 weight, so that's how we found out how much coal we burnt an hour, you see? And then I used to dump it in front of you and I used to throw it in the fire. Now, four furnaces, you clean one furnace once a 24 hours. And you let that fire die down, and then fire next to it bared it up, and then you pulled it all out, all the lot out. You crack up some coal, let it numb, throw it in on the bars, and then the fire next adjacent to it, you take out the live coal with a shovel, all burn and put it in and throw it in. And gradually build it up, put the fire on full bore. Then you had to clean out the ashes from the bottom. And then of course you had a heap of ashes this high. And you know when you put the hose on it, what would happen? And then we had an ejector. The side ship, get it over and put this ejector in and blow it out to the ship's side.
Did you enjoy the work? It didn't sound much fun.
Yes, it was good. We always had to wear a cap cover or a cap, anything, because some of the steam pipes would be dropping boiling water on your head. And I could take off my trousers and my vest when I went off watch and hang it on the rails. And when I went on watch 4 hours afterwards, my trousers would be standing up on their own with the perspiration and coal dust. And I used to have a piece of coal, as big as that, wash it and put it in my mouth.
About half an inch.
That's right, just to keep your mouth moist. I think the miners did that, you know. To keep your mouth moist, you see.
What were your mess rooms like, the stoker's mess?
Well, when the Tiger went into dock after the Jutland battle, they transferred a lot of bunkers to oil tanks. And then you went on coal first, went to sea, and then you'd go on the oil, because all your fire bars would be covered over with ashes, you see. And then, of course, when you went into harbour, you had to dig all those ashes out and go on go up the top of the funnel, you know, with the corner. You have 2-3 inches of soot, and you used to have a rag and put it around your face and push it down. No, I did. From 1919 until 22.
So it was 1919.
19 then, when I left her. Now, I joined her.
What was the mess deck like?
Well, the mess decks were the bunkers turned into mess deck. There were 4 messes in a bunker, and about 40 men in each mess.
And what was it
no
like?
No ports at all, terrible. When you cold ship, they open the hatch here, the coal dust would come up. Coal dust everywhere.
Tell me a bit more about the mess decks. What was around you on the mess deck? I mean, you'd have hammocks, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sleeping hammocks. You had one place with all your store your hammocks.
And where would you keep your personal possessions on the mess deck?
You had a locker. A locker to put it in, so.
And what was the food like on the Tiger?
Terrible.
Why was it terrible?
We had no breakfast. And we complained about that. You're on general messing. That means that you had so much meat per day, half a pound per man, potatoes, bread, so much sugar, tea, milk. And if you had more than that, you put down for it, and you had to pay for that at the end of the month.
That sounds like canteen messing.
Yes, something like that. And we used to make, you drew your meat to the block, and then you take it down. If it's going to be a roast, you give it a roast. You put it in a big dish with potatoes and that. You take it up the galley, they would cook it, but you had to prepare it. If you was going to have pie, you cut the meat up small and the onions in and take it up, and they would cook it. And about 11 o'clock, instead of cooks the galley, you go and bring it down your mess and you make the pie crust and put the pie crust on. Of course, the night before, you peel the spuds. I do the same now. The night before, we peel the potatoes and cabbage all ready for tomorrow. And the potatoes went in a net, if it wasn't roast, in a net.
So why was the food so horrid then?
Oh, I know, I couldn't tell you.
Now, what did you do while you were on the Tiger? What do you remember of the Tiger doing?
Well, right? I was watchkeeping, you know, on the stoker.
Where did the ship stay? Was it Rosyth when you joined?
My first trip was Gibraltar.
What do you remember of that?
Well, the crew I brought for mother, I brought an eau de cologne. And father, I brought a Jacob's pipe. He's white, but after we smoke, he goes black, you know. And I thought it was lovely. I used to do running ashore, though I was in the running team up the rock in Burness. I thought it was wonderful to be in Gibraltar.
And where else did you go on the Tiger?
Oh, then we went on a world on a cruise around, up around north.
Around where?
North England. Different places.
What was that long?
Like? Oh, it was all right. But I eventually got a job boiler cleaning.
Tell me about that.
That was a day work job.
What was the job of boiler cleaner?
Scrubbing inside the boiler.
How did you actually do that?
Well, you get in the boiler. The bottom drums is water. The top ones is the steam. Be two lads up there. Oh, we'd be at the back with a big rod with a brush on the end, pushing in, doing the tubes from the back. But the one I was in the hood, because that's jumping up. No, it was different.
Yeah, we'll come to that.
Yes. So then I got this power job. I was a day workman then, see. And, of course, I only joined for 5 years and 7 years in reserve, so I wasn't taking much interest in things, really. So I got a storekeeper job.
What was that?
The border cleaner had all their gear in his stores, all their brushes and scrubbers and things. So I was in the stores.
What were you doing there?
Issuing them out, and a lot of the little doors you put in, I have to clean them and put the joints on and get the stuff all ready. And the petty officer was there. He came from Kingsridge. So we used to make up tobacco. You drew the tobacco, it was 18 pence for a pound.
Yeah.
And you take the stem out, and then you get a piece of canvas, and you make it, wet it, and make it like a grub, and this white canvas, dive it around, and then you got a sponge on, put it around, hang up there, and you screw it around like that. It's called a prick, P-R-I-C-Q-U-E. You've heard of that, have you, these tobaccos? We used to get six at a time.
And what were they for?
That was your ration when you bought it for 18 pence.
But why would you wrap it in canvas?
I mean, well, you made it so then you could cut it to smoke, you see. Understand?
Anything else about... How did you get on with the other stokers on the Tiger?
Oh, all right. Yes, it's all right.
Is it a happy ship?
You used to take 2 years to be a cook of the day. You're responsible. You drew the meat, you drew the potatoes, you do that, and you wash the dishes. That's each, and then, say, there's 12 of them, you every 6 days, you see.
And was it a happy ship?
Yes, pretty good, yes.
So no trouble on board?
Sundays we go to church on deck.
Tell us about that.
At 9 o'clock we go on deck, and your engineer officer will inspect you and all that kind of thing. And then you march aft on the quarter deck, and the captain would read the lessons. And then the band used to play, we used to sing. And then off caps and jumpers and double around after us. That was lovely. I was always keeping fit, you know. I was in the boxer team as well.
What was that like? I mean, do you...
Good. I nearly got my jaw dislocated once. It was covered a crack.
What were the competitions like? Would it be on board or between ships?
Between ships.
And what was a typical competition like?
Oh, it was really good. I was only in the training. I never went in the property. I was a punch bowl for them, you know. But it's good because we had some good fellas, really good. And I tell you, after the division, we all doubled around. That was nice. The band were playing, you know.